Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter, commencing with the 14th verse, where we find Christ coming down from the mountain after being there with his 3 disciples and being transfigured before them. We find that the disciples who had been left behind, they were crowded with a multitude of people round about them, and the scribes, they were questioning these disciples. These multitude of people had come to these disciples with a man that had a son who had a dumb spirit. He had come especially for Christ to heal his son, but Christ was not amongst the disciples. And therefore, he entreated the disciples if they would cast out this dumb and evil spirit. And the disciples, they had been commissioned by Christ to preach the gospel and had been given that power and authority to heal the sick and to cast out evil spirits. And they had done so many times before. But this man with his son seemed to be a problem to them. It appears that their minds were wavering. They had no faith to believe that they could cast out this dumb and evil spirit. And when the man entreated them to do so, they attempted to cast out this dumb spirit, but with no success. And they were very much embarrassed in the front of the scribes and in the front of all the people. These scribes, they were always looking for an opportunity to prove that Christ was not the true Messiah, that he was an impostor. And now when they seen that these disciples failed in casting out this dumb spirit, they began to mock them. They began to fall upon them for the lack of power that they had. And they probably mocked the disciples and their master also. And as this was going on, suddenly Christ came with the 3 disciples down from the mount. These multitude of people did not see him come. He came unawares. These disciples, they had been in a very precarious position before this multitude. Or they had been longing that Christ would be in their midst, and surely he would cast out this dumb spirit. But they could not. And now suddenly Christ appears. Christ always comes at the right moment. He came in the midst of them, and he took it up for his disciples. And he said unto these scribes, "What question ye with these?" These scribes, they gave Christ no answer to this question that he put to them. And the multitude around him, they were amazed, and they came running to him and saluted him when they seen Christ and his 3 disciples. It appears that they were amazed that he came just at that proper time, or probably there was some of the glory yet upon his features which he had when he was up on the mount, and this amazed them, and therefore they came running to him and saluted him. And many people had followed Christ just to see the miracles that he performed, and that is why these people likewise saluted him and greeted him. Oh, they longed to see Christ perform a miracle, and they were almost positive that he was going to do that now, being the disciples had failed in casting out this dumb spirit. And now we find the father of this son appealing unto Christ. He spoke up out of the multitude and said, "Master, I have brought unto you my son, who has a dumb spirit. And wherever this spirit carrieth him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth upon his teeth, and he pineth away. What this young son had appears to be what they call the falling sickness. He was subject to fits. These fits would take hold of him, and they would carry him into convulsions. And when he was in these convulsions, why, he would foam at the mouth, and he would gnash with his teeth, and this spirit would tear him practically apart. This then, what he had, was a devilish spirit that had possession of him. And this spirit, the disciples could not cast out. In Matthew, we read that the father came praying unto Christ and knelt down and said, "Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed," which proves to us that he had a devil within him and who had possession of him. And now this father praying in this way, he desired a cure from Christ for his son. Now Christ speaks to the multitude and also to these scribes and says unto them, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with thee? How long shall I suffer thee? Bring him unto me." We have here Christ then reproving the multitude of people. He had been amongst them. He had ministered unto them. He had performed many miracles amongst them. And they were a perverse and a faithless generation. They had no faith that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. And they were perverse. All what he had done and all what he had accomplished for them and his ministry had left them the way they were. They were then a faithless and a perverse generation. When we are faithless, then we are just the opposite from faith. We are filled with unbelief. And when we are perverse, then we are rebellious, and we continue on in our sins and give no heed to the ministry that is set before us. So it was with these people, and so it had been with Israel of old. The Lord speaks by the mouth of Moses that they were a perverse and a generation that had no faith, and that he was grieved with them 40 years in the wilderness. And my hearers, this text is very applicable unto us. As a generation, we likewise are faithless and perverse. How long has the Lord been dealing with us? How long has he sent unto us his gospel? And how have you received it, my hearers? Have you received it in faith? Have you put it into practice? Have you become obedient to the words that have been sent to you? Or have you been perverse? Have you been rebellious? Have you paid no regard whatsoever, been indifferent, and went on in your sins? Oh, how many are guilty in this respect, and how applicable are these words to us as a generation. Oh, it pleased the Lord to come down and visit the Jewish nation, and they were scattered all over the universe because of their faithlessness and perverseness. And we know not how long that the Lord may yet permit his truth amongst us, that we yet may have the pure truth, the pure preaching and the reading of his precious word. How just it would be if God would come and take the candlestick away and bring it into a heathen country and there reveal his power and his grace among the heathens. Oh, let us, as a church, as a people, lift up our hearts unto the Lord that he may abide with us, and that we may not be a faithless and a perverse generation. This is what he accused these people of. He accused the multitude around him, the man himself that came with his son. And also the disciples, they had no faith to cast out this dumb and evil spirit. And now when they brought this son to Christ, it appears that he fell into one of these fits, for he fell upon the ground, wallowing and foaming. He was gnashing his teeth. It was the devil that was in this young man, and he wanted to stay in him. He didn't want to give up his captive, or he sought to destroy this young boy, if possible, to kill him. Oh, the devil, my hearers, is bent on destroying the whole human race. He's bent on destroying each and every one of us, if possible. That's his aim. And oh, when Christ came and said, "Bring him unto me," and this young man looked unto Christ, and then he fell into this stupor, into this fit, into convulsions. And as he was wallowing on the ground, foaming out of his mouth, his teeth grinding, he says unto the father of this young son, "How long has he been in this case? How long has it been this way with him?" And the father says, "Oh, from when he was a child, and oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst help us, if thou canst deliver him, oh, be pleased to do so." This was the contents of his prayer. I don't have the exact words, but this is what he pleaded with Christ. "If thou canst do anything, if thou canst help us." You see in this, my hearers, what the devil does with human beings. Oh, how he does not want to give up the subjects in which he reigns. Oh, we see this in this young man wallowing and foaming on the ground in the front of Christ. And now this father, he tells Christ that he was this way from when he was a child. This made the case much more sad and much more troublesome to heal and to cure. Oh, what a pitiful object was this young boy on the ground. And this he had from when he was a child. Oftentimes it threw him into the fire and into the water. Suppose you had a son like that, or you had a child like that, my hearers. You can imagine what a life you would have with such a boy. These parents, day and night, they had no rest. They had to watch him all the time, for he would run into the fire or jump into the water. This is what the devil wants us all to do, my hearers, believe me. Oh, if he could get us to commit suicide, if he could get us to jump into the fire or into the water, how satisfied would this demon spirit be? But Christ commanded him to come to him. And now the Lord Jesus, he heard this plea of this father, "If thou canst help us, if thou canst do anything for us." He threw it upon the power of Christ. He was filled with unbelief concerning whether Christ could cure this son of his. The case was so long, and it was so desperate, and the disciples had tried to do it, but they couldn't. And now he says, "If thou canst do anything, if thou canst help us." And the Lord Jesus turns to him and says, "If thou canst believe, then all things are possible to them that believe." The Lord turns around and throws it upon his unbelief, the reason why that his son was not cured, was not healed. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible." Oh, my hearers, if thou canst believe. So simple. Today we have so many people that can believe. They have a head full of belief, but they have no heart that has any grain of saving faith in it. Oh, today we have so many creatures that can believe whenever they want to. And now this teaches us that this man couldn't believe when he wanted to. I'm sure if he could have believed and he could have exercised faith, then I'm sure that he would have desired that his son would have been cured. But he had so many doubts and so many fears concerning whether his son could be cured or not, whether there was anyone that could cure him. And now while he was troubled with all these doubts and all these fears, Christ spake to him and encouraged him somewhat and said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. If you can believe, then my almighty power can be exerted on behalf of your son, and he can be cured. All things are possible to them that believe. And we see in this man a struggle going on inwardly between believing and unbelief. And suddenly we find this man crying out and saying, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. All he believed it is true. All he believed that much that he brought him to Christ. He had that much faith that it carried him and his son to Jesus. But he was so troubled inwardly. Oh, he was so exercised. And finally, above all his doubts and all his fears, he cries out, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Oh, Lord, I believe you can take away my unbelief. That he did believe. He believed that Christ could deliver him from that, and that that was necessary, and that he could strengthen him in his faith. And therefore he says, help my unbelief, pardon it, Lord, take it away, work true faith in my heart, and then heal my son. And now the people, the multitude of people, they all came running. They wanted to see what Christ was going to do. They were so anxious to see whether he would cure this young man or not. And Christ held them not in suspense, but when this young man was wallowing like this on the ground, Christ spake to him again and said unto him, thou dumb spirit, come out of him and enter no more into him. And my hearers, the devil, he had to obey this command of Christ. Oh, he didn't want to obey. He wanted to remain in that young man. He wanted to take his life if possible. He had to submit to the superior power of Christ over him. And therefore, he brought this young man in a rage. Oh, he was such a malicious and such an evil spirit. He was so desirous of destroying this young boy. But he could not. He had to come out of him. When Christ commanded him, he had to come out, and it says that he came out of him. And when he came out of him, this young man lay on the ground just like if he was dead. And many said he is dead. But Christ went over to him, took him by the hand, strongly raised him up, and said unto him, arise, and he was perfectly cured. He was delivered from this dumb and this evil spirit. Now this teaches us that the devil, who has possession of each and every one of us by nature, he also can leave us for a time. But he can return again and take possession of us. But if Christ cast out the devil out of us, then he cannot return in there, for Christ keeps him out. We read in the Bible that the evil spirit went out of a person. And he went seeking rest somewhere and couldn't find it. And he came back with seven more evil spirits than himself. And the end of that man was worse than the beginning. This happens, my hearers, that the devil forsakes his place and then returns. Oh, we see some people sometimes, you would think that they were converted. There's such a change in them. Oh, they were such devilish creatures before. But watch their lives. And then you will find that the devil returns into them again. And then they're worse than they were before. I see this even in an experience of a young man, even in the place where I work. Outwardly, there was a great change in him. But now he's taken his fling of sin again, and he's worse than he ever was before. we see the Word of God is true, and that it is fulfilled even in actual experience. And my hearers, this father then, he received his son back. He received him perfectly whole again. Oh, you can imagine how this father felt concerning Christ. Oh, how he took his son by the hand and went back home to his wife and told his wife everything that had taken place. Oh, how happy they were. They didn't have to watch him anymore day and night. Now he was sane. Now he never would have any more of those fits. He was completely cured. Oh, what a blessing had they experienced by the power of Christ revealing his power against the evil spirit in this young man. And my hearers, we find the disciples coming unto Christ into the house after this and saying unto Christ, "Why was it that we could not cast him out?" And Christ says to them, "Because of your unbelief." In Matthew it says, "If ye had a grain of faith as a mustard seed, then ye would say unto this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it would be done. For whatever you say believingly, it shall be accomplished." It was then because of their unbelief. But he also likewise said, "These cannot be cast out except by fasting and prayer." Here we have then Christ even reproving his disciples because of their unbelief and pointing out to them what true faith is and what faith can accomplish when it is given unto them to act it. And that none of these evil spirits can be cast out except by prayer and by fasting. It is by prayer that we call down the power of Christ in us to deliver us from Satan. And it is by fasting that our bodies are brought subject to those things that lead us to seek God. It puts a keen edge upon prayer. Oh, what a blessing to be such a creature that we may fast and may pray against Satan and against his power. And now I would take you back, my hearers, again to the beginning of our lesson. We have here then a father bringing his young son to Christ to be cured from this devilish and dumb spirit. This teaches us, my hearers, that if we are fathers or mothers and have any children, and they may be possessed with such a devilish spirit, this young man was an exception. He was so possessed with it that we find him like a maniac. He was a lunatic. Oh, how many poor creatures in this world are possessed with a devilish spirit. How many young people and elderly people are locked up in institutions, in hospitals, in solitary confinement, over whom the devil exerts such a power, that if you saw them, my hearers, you would be filled with pity and compassion towards them. And my hearers, what maketh you and I to differ, that we are not under the power and under the dominion of Satan to that extent, that we are not locked up in such an institution? It is only the restraining grace of God over you and I that the devil does not have such power over us, or surely, my hearers, we likewise would be locked up in an institution and be kept from other people for fear that we would harm them. And this teaches us, like this father, if we have some son or some daughter who does not want to listen to our admonitions, to our warnings, who, against all what we plead with them, goes on and leads a wicked and a sinful life, goes on in their sins, my hearers, then we still must bring them to Christ. You know, we can take them to ministers, to the people of God, and we can entreat them for help and for their prayers, and sometimes it is useful, but our sole dependence must be upon Christ, who only has power to deliver from such devilish spirits. And my hearers, against all opposition, even if a minister or children of God say his case is hopeless, there's no use, or continue. It shows here in this particular case that Christ is able to deliver from such devilish spirits, for he delivered this young man from it. Oh, have you a son? Have you a daughter in such a position? Probably not as bad as what I'm describing about this young man, but you have someone maybe in your own family. Oh, may you be given to carry them by prayer unto Christ. He is still the same. He is still able to deliver. And he is mighty to speak and to cast out these spirits that occupy the hearts and the minds of so many individuals. And my hearers, we find that this father, he came praying, Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. Do you pray like that? You all have children, most of you. You have children that are in the Bible class, some of you people. And believe me, every one of your children are under the power of Satan, under the dominion of the devil. Every one of us are born in this position, my hearers. And you can't deliver them, neither can I. But oh, we are duty-bound, my hearers, to pray and to plead with Christ that he would deliver not only our children, but ourselves likewise from the devil and from this evil spirit which we all are possessed with. How many of my hearers are busy this way? How many pray, sigh, and groan to be delivered for them and for their children? Oh, I wish every one of you were in that position. But this man, likewise, he is a type of the children of God. This man had faith. He came to Christ with his child. And so many children of God, they pray just like this man. Lord, have mercy, not upon my son, but upon me, a poor sinner. Oh, deliver me, Lord, from the devil and from all my evil things that I find in me. And my hearers, this man, he had so many doubts concerning the power of Christ to deliver his son. There may be some amongst me that have been praying, have been crying like this to God to be delivered, but you have so many doubts, so many fears that you'll ever be delivered. Oh, you are so troubled inwardly. At times you have faith to believe. At times you find access. Then again, you look at yourself. Then you look at how long you've been sinning against God. The devil comes and he shows you so many black spots in your life. He reveals what you have been in the past. And oh, he makes so many insinuations in you. Oh, he's such a sly article, the devil. You know, he works upon the people's minds. And he poisons them, if possible, with such wicked and sinful thoughts. Oh, he would say inwardly, there's no use you trying. There's no use you seeking God. You're a sinner and you're going to remain a sinner. You might just as well go on in sin and live in sin and die in sin because you're only going to be damned anyway. That God will never have anything to do with you. He's too holy. He's too just. He's too righteous to trouble himself with the likes of you. And so the devil points out God as a terrible being, oh, an awful being. My hearers, Are there such things going on in you? Are you troubled inwardly? Oh, sometimes you believe maybe that you'll find mercy. None of the times you can't believe it. Oh, you have your faith and you have unbelief. You have doubts and you have fears going on in you. Now, that's what this man had concerning his son. How many are troubled this way? Are you never troubled with unbelief? That's a sign that you don't have any faith. Because if you have faith, then surely you will meet opposition against it. Oh, everything will come up against that faith. My hearers, we find that Christ, he spake to this father and said unto him, if thou canst believe, then all things are possible. I'm sure that you say to yourself, oh, if I only could believe. Oh, I would be out of all my troubles. I can't believe. Oh, I'm such a miserable being. I need someone to give me to believe. And you're just like this man. He couldn't believe either. Oh, he was so troubled inside. Oh, if I only could believe, then everything would easy be. But no, you can't believe. Just like this man, you cry out to, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You ever have any trouble like that? You ever cry to God to be delivered from your unbelief? Never? Oh, how sad is your state and condition. Then you are totally under the power of unbelief, for it never troubles you. But if you are a believer, no matter how weak your faith may be, then you will find that there will be unbelief, there will be doubts, there will be fears running through your mind continually. And my hearers, the Lord encouraged this man to believe. And now we find that Christ, he exerted his power upon his son. And this son, he had to come to Christ. And when he came to Christ, we find the devil tearing this young man, making him go into a fit, making him fall on the ground, foaming and wallowing out of his mouth, his eyes glaring out of his head. He looked like a wild man. My hearers, when Christ comes through the gospel and comes to sinners who are under the power of Satan, then this very same thing takes place. Oh, the devil, he don't want to give up his subjects. He wants to hold on to them. And oh, he will try his utmost to keep his position in their hearts. And oh, what goes on then? Oh, just like with this young man. Oh, there's such a struggle going on in such a creature. Oh, he finds in him that he should leave everything, that he should come to Christ. And he's coming to him. But as he comes to him, there's so much that opposes him. Oh, he has so much within him that opposes his coming to Christ. And then he finds so much outwardly. Oh, he has probably a father, a mother, a sisters, brothers, relatives. They're all opposed to him. Oh, it says in the Bible, a man's enemies are those of his own household. And that's true. Oh, let a sinner be led by Christ. Let a sinner be drawn to Christ. Then you will meet so much opposition. Oh, and they will say, such a person's going crazy. There's something wrong with his mind. Oh, they speak so against such a person. And that poor person, oh, he doesn't know what to do. He's being torn to and fro. He doesn't have enough faith to believe that the work is going on within him. And he don't know how he is the way he is. How am I thus, he says. Oh, he can't explain himself. And there he is. Are you that way? Have you ever been that way? Oh, my hearers, we find that Christ, he spake unto this spirit and said, come out of him. And he had to come out. And if Christ is working in your heart, my hearer, the spirit of the devil cannot reign therein anymore. Oh, that spirit, he keeps his prisoners captive until a stronger one than he comes in and dispossesses him of all his power. And that must take place, my hearers, within us, or otherwise the devil will continue to reign in us. And this is what took place with this young man. Oh, he was raised up by Christ. He took him by the hand and he raised him up. And he arose and he was made perfectly whole. Has he ever taken you by the hand? Have you ever lain like that young man? Or have you ever wallowed? Have you ever foamed at the mouth? Have you ever been in a frenzy about whether the work of God was in you or not? Or you were tossed to and fro by Satan. He come in like an angel of light, and he disturbed everything that was going on within you. And while in that condition, you probably read the book of some author, you read the Bible, or you came to the house of God, and as you were seated there, suddenly Christ came. And through his precious word, he stretched out his hand, and he raised you up. He comforted you, he encouraged you, he lifted you out of that state in which you felt yourself to be, and all you were made perfectly whole at that present moment. Oh, the devil had no more power, no dominion over you, for Christ reigned in you, and faith triumphed over all your unbelief and over all your doubts and fears. Oh, what a blessing it is when Christ stretches forth his hand and raises us up and restores us. Oh, may he do so to each and every one of my hearers. And may you be delivered out of the power and out of the dominion of Satan. And may you be brought into the service of this precious Christ, whose service is perfect freedom, perfect liberty. Oh, when we are given to serve the Lord, we serve him then willingly and gladly. Oh, blessed are they who have been brought to serve this king. The devil shall never take you to hell, but this king shall carry you to glory abound. That's all for today, my hearers. Our time is gone.